Hi, welcome to my podcast. I am Dr. Lauren Goodall. I'm a clinical psychologist, and I am discussing my book, which is Bipolar is Not an STD. It is available on Amazon, and I am taking excerpts from the book for discussion. But before we do that, I'd like to say Happy New Year. And what goes with New Year's is usually goals. And so before I start, I'd like to talk a little bit about that. Most people set some type of goal up for the new year, and we're actually pretty good at setting up some type of behavioral goal, and we're good at identifying the steps involved in that goal. Okay, and we usually have some pretty good thoughts and pretty good reasoning behind it. The thoughts and the goal will usually align. That's what we target. We don't have thoughts that don't align with our goal, because that will never work. Okay, so it's great to have the goals, but one factor I think that people fail to take into account is motivation. And motivation is huge. Motivation is that energy. It's that go-through. It's the thing that kicks you out of the box when obstacles come forth, okay? So your motivation is one of the biggest pieces of the equation in being able to achieve any goal you set, okay? So I think most people understand how important motivation is, but somehow when we're setting these goals, we don't factor it into the equation quite as well. So that is my caution. Make sure that even though a goal sounds good, if you're really not in it, then you really don't want to set it up, okay? Because the motivation does need to be present. Okay, motivation is a huge factor. And so much so that a typical daily example might be, say when you pick up your cup of coffee in the morning. Okay, why do people pick up coffee? Well, actually, it gives them energy, it gives them concentration, it gives them ability to focus and to motivate. Okay, so that is just, even though and technically, in terms, it's a stimulant, and it basically is a shot of adrenaline. So when you're having your cup of coffee, you're having a shot of adrenaline, okay? So adrenaline in small doses is fine. It's just when adrenaline gets large, that's when it gets problematic. So that's just a daily example of, you know, increasing motivation and energy and such that we use oftentimes without really being aware of it. Okay, I'm going to talk about the term mental health, you know, and versus medical, and is mental health medical? And I'm going to discuss that a bit at length today. And certainly I see it along that paradigm. Mental health, first of all, the term mental has always been problematic because it's used in a derogatory term, in a derogatory way, okay? Of course, most of us understand, and I think we're actually getting better at understanding what mental health is. But for generations and decades, it's kind of been used in a not so great way. You know, he's mental, she's mental, it's mental. So the term itself is problematic. All right, so I'm going to switch now to using more of a medical example of mental health, okay? So your brain, to explain that, I'm going to start talking about the medical systems in your body. We know what the cardiovascular system is. That's heart health, right? The respiratory system, that's lungs and diaphragm. Okay, you have an endocrine system, you have a reproductive system. But rather than go through all these different systems, I am going to talk about the limbic system, Okay. And why the limbic? Okay. The limbic system is important. And I would say it's very much a mental health correlate. Okay. It talks the limbic system identifies emotions such as sadness, anger, fear, and joy. Okay. It also is involved in emotional regulation of behavior, okay? It's got, certainly there is a, the fight or flight system is involved with it, okay? Which is really important, part of the limbic system. And what is the fight or flight system? That's when your brain drops adrenaline, messages for adrenaline like go, 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 okay? Those are in dangerous situations, you know, where you get more superhuman strength that you otherwise wouldn't have. And why is that? Because the brain shuts off all other processes that are less important, like digestion, when it decides that you are in danger, and it basically pounds you with adrenaline, okay? The other part of the system, of the limbic system, is also the de-stress area. Okay, that's where people are accessing it through yoga and mindfulness. Okay, so it's got the fight or flight system, it's got the de-stress system, it's got the emotions and the behavioral part. So, and it also has a memory component, okay? And I'm not going to identify all these different structures because it's kind of, but they're all structurally within there, okay? There's different structures within the limbic system that govern these pieces. And so, for instance, somebody who goes through trauma, you don't have trauma without traumatic memory, okay? So memory is definitely involved in the limbic system. So for many of these pieces, I am saying instead of mental health, we might as well call it limbic health, okay? Because all of these pieces are structurally in there, okay? And we also have some neurotransmitters in there as well, okay? And I'll start talking about neurotransmitters as we go on. There are chemical messengers in the brain because the brain is constantly sending chemical text throughout these different systems, okay? It might send a chemical text to the pituitary to drop more growth hormone, okay? Things like that. So you have to understand that the brain is the, shall we say, the chief influencer. But there are all these subsystems that are communicating. And I'm going to talk a little bit about chemical messengers in mental health, which we call neurotransmitters. There are specific ones that I will focus in on a little bit later and not this particular segment, but they're all involved in mood regulation, okay? And to understand a little bit about neurotransmitters, first of all, you have to have a nerve cell, okay? And it's electrical. And basically how it communicates is by sending chemical messages that get picked up, received, read, picked up, dropped more chemical, and so forth down the line, okay? And sometimes the line is interrupted. Okay, and how may it be interrupted? A good metaphor for that is, say you're having a party and you ask somebody to bring a main dish and they say, yeah, great, okay. And then they show up with a dessert instead. And now you are scrambling because you were counting on a main dish and now you have too many desserts and you are scrambling. Okay, so if the wrong chemical decides to sit in the wrong receptor, okay, it's going to create a problem for the brain. The brain is going to have to scramble like you do at the dinner party how to restructure this, how to go around this, okay? And not only that kind of problem, chemical messengers sometimes show up so that the person who brought the main dish just didn't bring enough of it. So he or she made enough for three and you have 14. And now you're like, wow, I have a problem. Okay, same problem for the brain. The brain is saying, oh my gosh, I've got all these neurotransmitters, and now you show up. I've got these senders and receivers, but now you show up, but you didn't bring enough chemical. Okay, and why is that important? Because the person is going to experience symptoms. There is going to be an experience, okay, a physical symptomatology and emotional symptomatology based on how this sending and receiving system works. Okay, there are genetic influences on how well, or genetic predispositions that will say how well this system works. Okay, so what I'm going to do at this point is say, okay, this is the backdrop, or what I refer to as the biology or the undercurrent. Okay, so when a person comes into therapy, okay, they come into therapy because there might be something going on, okay, in a relationship, job, they're experiencing some level of psychological stress. And through the process of therapy, they're able to get, you know, assess patterns behind it, history behind it, different ways to modify, and they start to make improvements, and the psychological distress starts to fall off. And that's perfect, because that's what we want. That's what we're here for, okay? All right, so that happens to one subset of the population, okay? Another subset of the population will come in, same process, go through the, you know, the emotional processing, the background, the history, how to change things, modifications, patterns, thought patterns, and such. And the person starts making gains, as which we would expect. Okay, and then all of a sudden, they plateau. Well, we don't like plateaus. And the reason why we don't like them in weight loss, we don't like them when we're trying to get muscle mass, okay, we don't like plateaus. And the reason why we don't like plateaus is because they're usually just shy of falling back, okay, falling backwards, okay, where a person actually starts to have breakthrough psychological symptoms, okay, that is not far behind, okay. So at those points, now we're going to start thinking, I'm going to start thinking, okay, something is going on. There is a root that's missing here, okay? They were doing well. They are now not doing well, or they're sliding back, and they're only getting limited gains. Okay, so now it's time to look at brain biology, neurotransmitters, things along those lines that affect psychological stress in the body, okay? So, and affect mood regulation, okay? So now we're going to start looking at those things that I just discussed with you, okay? Neurotransmitters, the limbic system, the fight or flight system, okay? So I'm going to read from the book, and it says, Cracking the Code, Mental versus Medical. So some people come in, the psychological agitation or upset was actually caused by an event, a situational stressor, and it gets resolved, and it's good, okay? It's resolved, and they get better, okay? I also believe that the reason some people don't get better and stay better is that there are underlying medical factors, okay, that trigger and cause the mood symptoms, such as severe depression, anxiety, or bipolar. So the psychological distress can be the starting point that is actually more of a medical space, as I've discussed with you, okay? For many, psychological symptoms are rooted in a situation, as I said, and that will always be a factor, but we're gonna see some results with this. But when they set back, however, for others, the psychological agitation or upset was started by the brain's cell messengers that overreacted. So in other words, you might think it's situational, and many times we do. Well, I'm just stressed because I'm going through this divorce, and that, of course, is causing a huge amount of stress. Or I'm stressed because this job is completely overwhelming, but which you may not be factoring in because you can't see it, is that your brain chemistry, your cell messengers are being a bit reactive, okay? They can be overreactive, okay? And the way to recognize that is if you've ever spoke to a person who had post-traumatic stress disorder, okay? They visibly carry a level of agitation, okay? So their cells are firing, seeing threats in so many different places. So their cells are overreacting, and I say, or underreacted, okay? Leaving a person feeling miserable or ready to jump out of their skin. Underreacted is kind of how might a person respond with an underreaction would be more like no energy, no motivation, okay? So those would be some places that we would look. And I say, because of this medical chemical reaction or subpar response, the person will have a much more difficult time, quote, snapping out of it. So you're going to see if there is a biological underpinning attached to the stress, they're going to have a harder time working it through. And at which time you're going to be seeking out a psychiatrist for med management or a psychiatric nurse for medication management and trying to determine, are your symptoms more of a depressive nature? Are they more of an anxious nature? Or is there difficulties with energy and motivation and all of that? Those are all our little flags that say something else is going on. So I think it's really important, as I said, when people stop getting better, that you start looking at these biological underpinnings, okay, and start looking there. And so brain biology has to be assessed to continue to have improved gains. You know, if a person's symptomatic, that's kind of a flag, okay? Signs of psychological stress is a flag. And if you can't work it through one way, then you need to start looking at some medication management and such to just kind of recalibrate the system, okay? Some people recalibrate with very little amounts, and other people require a little bit more. But again, that would be, that decision would be made through the doctor for medication management. All right, so I'm going to close this. I'm just going to say that for a lot of these reasons, that's why I think the term mental health should be redefined in terms of being called limbic health. And it's just another system. And brain biology is definitely involved. So it's not necessarily always what happens to you. It also depends on the level of stress, biological stress and psychological stress in the equation. All right. Thank you for joining me.